I've been preaching on the teachings of Jesus all year, and for the season of Advent, I started into a little segment of those called the I Am Sayings. And during the time of Lent, focused on the last words of Christ from the cross. So there's been three different types of teachings from Jesus that we've been entertaining in our hearts and in our minds, and today and Easter, I'm returning to the I Am sayings and looking to complete them. May the words of my mouth be acceptable in thy sight. The I Am sayings are marvelous statements about Jesus. They are considered self-revealing statements from Jesus about who he is, and they're considered discernment statements by others about how they experience Jesus. They indicate powerful images of Jesus' identity and of Jesus' function for people that are open to experience him. I am the light of the world, the eternal word. I am the bread of heaven, the sustenance of life. I am the good shepherd, the caregiver. I am the vine, the source of nurture and of growth. It is as if people are taking photographs of Jesus from different angles, and in so doing, they are capturing a different perception of him, a different aspect of him, who he is and what he does. And then in the compositing of those images together, or those I Am statements, drawing them all together, we get a more complete sense of who Jesus is. And so now we come to this statement. So today we're looking at the next to last I Am statement, and it is, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And I want you to stay with me here. I may be pleasing of some and unpleasing to others of you as you hear my understanding of this statement, because we want to seek an understanding of it, of a statement that is, to my mind, regrettably used often to badger other people or to battle other people about the issues of faith. I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. What is Jesus meaning? What is Jesus meaning as he says these phrases? I think he is contrasting himself with his context, with what is around him. I mean, I think he is speaking to his time and to his context. He's speaking towards Judaism, where form is getting the better over content, if we read him correctly. Law is becoming deadening rather than life-giving. I think he's speaking to them, and I think he's speaking to the Greco-Roman way of life that is surrounding them all, where might makes right, where there is peace through war, and there's a pantheon of gods to meet your whims. Jesus, I think, perceives himself, his message, and his life journey as distinct and in contrast to that which is dominating Judaism at the time and that which was so prevalent throughout the Roman Empire. In his difference, he saw the means to a deeper holiness and a truer righteousness and a more abundant and peaceful life. Jesus sees and others confirm a revelation of God through Jesus. It has to do with the growth of the vine and the caregiving of the good shepherd and the sustenance of bread and the guidance of light. Whether his own self-perception or the perception of his early followers, Jesus is understood and embraced as a different way, as a better truth, as a more powerful, genuine life. It's the way, Jesus' way, it's the way of sacrificial love. It's the truth. It's Jesus' truth of saving grace for all. And it's the life, Jesus' life, of the Spirit-infused beyond just the physical. So here we have Jesus on this day, this holy day, this celebratory day, entering Jerusalem on a humble donkey. He's not on a Roman war horse. He's drawing a contrast, a different way, a different truth, a different life. Soon to undergo betrayal and trial and scourging and death on a cross, not being lifted up as anticipated as the Jewish Messiah. A different kind of way, truth, and life. And then busting back into life through the power of the Spirit in the resurrection. Not the way of the Jewish Messiah or the Roman warlord. And not the truth of the jot and tittle of the law, nor the emperor's designs. And not the life of appeasing God through repeated temple sacrifices, nor appeasing Caesar as the demagogue of the world. Not that way, not that truth. Not that life. A different way, a different truth, a different life is being revealed by Jesus and embraced by his followers. And to that I say, hallelujah. The kingdom of God is drawing near and is upon us. And the question arises, as you probably anticipated that it would, about verse 6 of this saying, no one comes to the Father except through me. Rob Fuqua writes in The God We Can Know, this single verse has been a major source of controversy for centuries, perhaps since the Gospels were first accepted as Scripture. What did Jesus mean? No one gets to the Father except through him. Think about it. Is it like you go up to a locked door? Is it like you go up to a locked, guarded door? And you have to give a password? to get in? What's the word? Jesus. Come on in. Is it like that? Is that what God has designed for all of God's creatures, these millenniums of existence? What's the word? Or is it in the living out of this new way, new truth, new life of Jesus that one is ushered into the presence of the Father, the presence of God? Not sure that he's making a case for himself over other faiths as much as he's reassuring his followers that in his spirit, his way, his truth, his life, they have connection to God. Don't be fooled, he's saying. You have connection to God. It seems like you're going against all the grains. You have a connection to God. You have a pathway to God. Does it really make sense that this God that we love, that we serve, that we honor, would make it impossible for others to come into intimate relationship with God if they don't say the word Jesus? Indeed, Jesus was big on telling people not just to be battering around his name. He himself said, that's not going to do it for you. You can't just say, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. You need to live the way of Jesus. You need to walk in the truth that is Jesus. Perhaps God's forgiving grace is bigger than our religious thinking. Could that possibly be true, that the Creator would be bigger than the creature? That the Creator would be more loving, that the Creator would be more nurturing, that the Creator would be more merciful, that the Creator would be more graceful than the creature? Could it possibly be true that God's family welcome of redemption into intimate relationship is even wider than we imagined? Jesus himself is remembered in our scripture as saying, it's a whole lot more about how we live than about how we think or believe. As he gathered the sheep and the goats, and he asked those guys, okay, what's the catechism of the Middle Ages of Calvin? What's Augustine's theory of original sin? How many miles can you walk on a Sabbath before you're working? Do you think you can push an elevator button on the Sabbath and I don't see you and I'm not going to punish you? Do you believe that, Jesus says? No, to the goats and the sheep, what does he say to them? He doesn't say, what do you believe about me, about God? He asks them, have you fed my children? Have you cared for my flocks? Did you visit me when I was dying, when I was oppressed? Stuff like that. Behaviors. Things that substantiate things that we claim. Jesus seemed to teach that holiness had a lot about doing holy things, righteousness about being righteous, about actually loving our neighbors and loving God. The way of Jesus, what is the way of Jesus? It's the way of the sacrificial cross. What is the truth of Jesus? I think it's the way of grace. Forgiveness, empowerment. The life of Jesus is that life which is infused by the Spirit and worships God and thanks God for the creation of life and one's place within it. Let Jesus' teachings pull it all together for you. The way, the truth, the life. Amen.